Section, and today we have part 13. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Our Bible text today is Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God, day and night, has been hurled down.'" There are chapters in the book of Revelation which are difficult to understand. Most Christians, they do not understand at all, and so they stop reading the book of Revelation. Yet it's quite easy. You have to operate your mind, open your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to interpret and do some research. 2 weeks ago, we studied the Revelation 11. We saw the two witnesses and the seventh trumpet. As we turn to chapter 12, we read of the woman, the child, and the dragon. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says, "A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads." This chapter provides a history from before human race was created to just before the return of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as King and, of Kings and Lord of Lords. God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God made a covenant, and God never breaks a common covenant. Mm-hmm. A covenant that God makes is to be will not be broken. Many people, they think that the nation of Israel was only for the past. Somebody once said, "All Israel was only important to bring the Savior." But God didn't talk to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob like that. He didn't say, "I make a covenant with you for some time only." So he made an everlasting covenant, and that is why Israel is so important today. God still has a plan in and through Israel. So our subject today is about Israel's future. Verse 1 begins with a statement, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven." A great sign appeared in heaven. The first sign in this vision is of a woman who gave birth to a child. Verse 3 says, "And another sign appeared in heaven." We understand that these three are symbols: a woman, a child, and a dragon. They represent things beyond the ordinary events of nature. These three figures symbolize three major forces that have been at work in this world for thousands of years. The woman is close with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Now the woman represents Israel. Joseph had a dream once when he saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars to fall down and bow down before him, which was his father, his mother, and his siblings. So the moon, the star, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They don't represent the 12 stars of Europe. They represent the 12 tribes of Israel. When Israel gives birth to a male child who will rule the nations with a rod of iron and will be caught up to God and his throne, we can be sure that this is Jesus. He was born to Israel. He has been taken up to God and the throne in heaven. So Jesus ascended to God's throne in heaven. He still will come back and rule the nations of the world with a rod of iron when he's coming for the second time. So the woman is clothed with a sun. It's a sun of righteousness. The light and glory of God shone around her. And the moon under her feet. For the Jews, this was typical worship. The moon is a lesser light, ruling overnight and getting light from the sun. As worship goes on, it must be illuminated by the sun, the glorious light of the gospel. So the woman was about to give birth. Jesus was born to Israel. It says in verse 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon the heads." In verse 3, we read of an enormous dragon. Enormous dragon. Praise the Lord. In verse 3, we read of an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on the heads. What are these 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns? What is it? We read about the same thing in the book of Daniel. The prophet Daniel said in chapter 7, verse 23 to 25, he gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. That is 3 years. A time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years. The same as 1260 days. The 7 heads appear also on the beast in John chapter in chapter 13, where he saw a beast coming out of the sea, what we will look at next week, and the beast in Revelation 17. It's identified as 7 mountains and 7 kings. Now we have to remember that Rome is built on 7 mountains or 7 hills. That is very significant because it has a lot to do with Rome. And the 7 heads of the dragon represent political powers through whom the dragon has exercised his persecuting power. 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms. The angel said in Daniel The angel said to Daniel, 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. These 10 kingdoms are made up of the broken pieces of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was divided into 10 independent kingdoms. If the 10 horns of Daniel's fourth beast point out to many kingdoms, for the very same reason must the horns of the dragon have similar meaning. The Roman Empire was divided after about year 500, when it was fully Christianized. The Roman monarchy was in its seventh cruel form of government, which was dismembered by the barbarians. When the barbarians nations divided Roman Empire among themselves, they might be the horns of the dragon. I told you, we're going from the history from before man was created to the return of Jesus. The seven crowns upon the head are the seven Roman forms of government already enumerated, and heathenism was the state, the dominant religion. The 10 horns represent the governments of nations which support the major powers in their oppression of God's people and the church. During pagan Roman government, they represented the 10 barbarian tribes that supported the papacy, eventually bringing down the Roman Empire. And these tribes are made to modern Europe, what we have today. In the last days, they will represent all the nations of the world as they unite in the end time coalition, which will support the Babylon the Great in her warfare against Christians and God's people. In verse 9, we read of the dragon. The great dragon was hurled down. Verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the entire world astray. Now that dragon is Satan, the devil, and he desires to destroy Israel and her child, Jesus Christ. We read in Revelation 12, verse 4, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. What John saw was a sign, a symbol, not literal stars. When God laid the foundations of the earth, it says in Job chapter 38, verse 7, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So the morning stars, the stars represent the angels. Now, from this, we understand that one third of the stars, one third of the angels, they were infected by Lucifer's spirit of revolt, and he drew them with him when he was thrown out of heaven. One third of the angelic host went with the devil, and they have become evil spirits, demons. In verse 4, we see this dragon standing before the woman who was about to give birth to a male child. He is waiting to kill that child. Maybe another time I can tell you about all the attempts of the devil to try to kill Christ. It takes us to the birth of Jesus Christ, where it was Satan's determination to destroy Jesus, the baby. Because if he had destroyed, Jesus couldn't have died for our sins, and we would be lost. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18, you can read about Herod, the king Herod, how he killed all the babies under 2 years. This was a clear intention to kill the Savior. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Again, the 3.5 years. David wrote about the iron scepter in Psalm 110, verse 2. It says, "The Lord will extend his mighty scepter from Zion, rule over your surrounding enemies." So a scepter was a sign of a king. Like in Africa, the chiefs, they have a staff to show, "I am the chief." And so the king has an iron scepter, which shows, "I am the king." So to make clear, the iron scepter is handled by Christ, and it's a sign of his kingship. Revelation 19:15, it says, "Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God." So again, we see when Jesus is coming back, he will use that scepter to rule the nations. Hallelujah. Yes, in verse 5, there is a divine record of Satan's failure to destroy the man-child. Because he will be caught up unto God and his throne. The child was caught up to God and to his throne, from where he can save all those who come to him. We read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Therefore he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus went up to heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God on the throne, making intercession for all those who trust in him. Failing to destroy the man-child, Satan turns his hate towards the woman, Israel, of whom, according to the flesh, came Christ. There is a tremendous time interval between verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5, we have the birth of Jesus. And verse 6, we come to the end. This is usual in biblical prophecy that time is sometimes going forward and backward. From the ascension of Christ, we are taken to end time. The woman is clearly identified as Israel. Israel flees from her persecution and from the wrath of Satan. The time the woman speaks in the wilderness, the time the woman spends in the wilderness is 1,260 days, 3.5 years. This refers to the second half of the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist breaks his agreement with Israel and starts to persecute it. You can read that in Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 7. It's the same time that the two witnesses, what we spoke about last time, the same time that these two witnesses are prophesying in Jerusalem. Israel was taken to a desolate place, a place prepared by God. 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation is the worst time of persecution. Israel is persecuted, and if God didn't intervene, they would have been exterminated. God saves his people, the people of his covenant. Then we come to the next point. There was war in heaven. Not only in the world is war, also in heaven. So Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Wonderful. Praise God. Here, the revelation was given to John. The revelation that was given to John was not on earth, it was in heaven. Remember, Lucifer was a bright morning star, and he became Satan, the accuser. He is a deceiver, and he is a murderer, he is evil. And all the evil in the world is caused by the devil. Still, he is trying to become God and to replace God. Yet Satan was created. God is. He is the creator. How can the creation rule the creator? There are three kinds of heaven. Do you know that? There are three kinds of heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere above us. That is what you see when the sun shines. The atmosphere, the sun, and the moon. The second heaven is an unknown place. It's the spiritual outer space. And the third heaven is where God is, above all the other two regions. We read in the New Testament, Paul was talking about somebody who was taken up to the third heaven. After Satan rebelled against God, he was thrown out of all three heavens. Praise God. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The devil is called the prince of the power of the air. He is the prince of the power of the air. And evil spirits are with him in that heaven area. But then verse 9 says, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Now, they have been thrown out of the three heavens, and they are on earth. Eventually, he cannot accuse the believers before God anymore, because he has no more access to God. He is now on the earth, and doing his great destruction here. The angels who became demons, they come with him, causing more troubles. And all the things that are happening in those 3.5 years, the second part of rapture, will be ruled by Satan. Then we go to verse 10 to 12. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled out down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a song of triumph and of praise. Eventually, heaven is cleansed from him who polluted it. The one who accused the believers is thrown out. Now God is sovereign. Nothing impure will be in heaven. It's a praise of those who overcame through the blood of the Lamb. Those who were persecuted for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. That means they were even killed. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Here is the reason given why followers of Christ prevailed at this time against all their adversaries. It was because they fought against the dragon with the armor of God, what we have in Ephesians 6. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by proclaiming salvation to sinners through Christ crucified, and by their continual intercession at the throne of grace for the conversion of the heathen world. And by the word of their testimony, they constantly testified to their salvation. They testified about the Lord of Jesus Christ. And they testified against the error and follies of mankind. And heaven will rejoice. But woe to the inhabitants of the world, because the devil has gone down to you. Devils and demons will now be on earth directly interfering. Satan is filled with fury. He knows his time is very, very short. Only 3.5 years he has time. Then we read verse 13 to 17. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the space prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time of the out of the serpent's reach. Then, verse 15 on, then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth held the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, went off to make war against the rest of her offspring who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. Satan now started the greatest persecution against Israel that has ever been. We know during the Second World War how Jews were persecuted, but that is nothing compared to what is going to come. As we can see, he is still persecuting the woman who brought forth the male child. Why Israel? This is Jacob's trouble of the 7 years tribulation, and Satan knows his time is short. He knows that as long as Israel exists, God can fulfill his promises. And therefore, he wants to eliminate Israel completely. Wipe out Israel so that Jesus cannot come back and so that the promises to Israel will not be fulfilled. In this way, Satan thinks he will have victory over God. Some people, they say Israel has become the church. I don't know if you heard this. They say Israel is a church. That is a new Israel. This is called a replacement theory, and it's not true. Because in verse 13, it says, this woman is the same woman who brought forth a male child. Now, the church never brought forth a male child, but Israel did. So it was Israel who brought forth a male child. And the Bible never says that Israel has become the church, or that the church has become Israel. And verse 17 says, the dragon went to make war with what was left of Israel, because they were Jewish Christians, Messianic Christians, Messianic Jews, keeping the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ is a phrase pointing that Jews had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Zechariah shows us that one third of the Jews will be killed. Only one third will survive. It says in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, in the whole land, declares the Lord, two thirds will be struck down and perish, yet one third will be left in it. This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call my name. I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. So one third of the Jews will survive, and two thirds will be killed. And that one third is going into the millennium kingdom. The church and Israel are two separate entities. Israel is not the church and the church is not Israel. When the church goes up in the rapture, we are taken before the tribulation, we are taken up to heaven. Then God turns back to the Jews. Do you get that? When we are taken away, he turns back to the Jews. That is why they are in their home now. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Two wings denotes that it will be fast, very fast flight. They will run away very fast as the refugees in Ukraine. Within a few days, 4 million have left the country. It will be that fast when Israelites are fleeing for their lives. A speedy decrease from the state of great prosperity to a forlorn and desolate condition. And the woman will be nourished for 3.5 years. When God's people are persecuted, then God finds way to protect them. During the Hitler time, the Jews were destroyed. Yet there were many who endangered their own lives by hiding and saving Jews. There are stories of people who saved hundreds of Jews against the greatest dangers of their own life. God doesn't leave his people alone. He always has people who will save them. So also during these 1260 days, there are people who will save Israel, who stand up for the people of God. Many of them, they're not even Christians. They just, out of human compassion, they look after them. But it's the way that God is using them to save the people. In Revelation 12, verses 15 to 16, it says, "Then from the mouth of the serpent he spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon spewed out of his mouth." Revelation 12, 13 to 17 depicts the dragon pursuing Israel in an attempt to destroy them. The flood may represent an invading force from the king of the north, typically identified as Russia. Ezekiel prophesied about this time when the horde will invade the country. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8, says, "After many days," that means after many days, means much, much later after Ezekiel. Ezekiel lived about 500 years before Jesus. "So after many days, you will be called to arms. In future years, you will invade a land that has recovered from war, whose people were gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They had been brought out from the nations, and now all of them live in safety." We know that Israel was non-existent for almost 2,000 years. And since 1948, the state of Israel exists. And daily, Jews are arriving into Israel. So that this time, they have more Jews in Israel than outside. Addressing the northern aggressor, the Lord said in Ezekiel 38:9, "You and all your troops and the many nations with you will go up, advancing like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land." Verse 15 identifies the northern aggressor clearly. Ezekiel 38:15, it says, "You will come from your place in the far north, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses and great horse, a mighty army." Now, what you call the north of Israel is Russia. That's the furthest north. The next verse identifies the people targeted by the northern aggressor, because it says in verse 16 in Ezekiel, "You will advance against my people, Israel." Satan sends an army to devour her, but he will fail. He cannot do it. God protects the members of Israel who flee into the wilderness, where he sustains them for the second half of the tribulation, the 3.5 years. And then the devil focuses on the believing remnant of Israel. The passage in scripture relates to Ezekiel and Joel's description of an invading army from the north that troubles Israel. It also relates to Revelation chapter 9 that describes the invading army of demonic inspired forces. You may remember when we spoke about chapter 9. Revelation chapter 13 reveals the two evil figures of the devil uses to persuade the believing remnant of Israel. The furious at his attack on Israel has failed. The devil turns his attention to the believing remnant. These devout believers obey God's word and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. This description of the rest of the woman's offspring clearly identifies believing Jews.
Amen.
There may be a group of Israelites. There may be a group of Israel of Jews and also of Gentiles who welcome the message of 144,000 people who were sealed that we spoke about in chapter 7. The tribulation period certainly leaves no room for wishy-washy professions for Christ. The severe trials of the tribulation would demonstrate genuine faith. As the Apostle Peter explained, faith that has tried proves its genuineness and results in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's apparent that the shorter of the devil's time will becomes the most furious. The shorter his time comes, the more furious he becomes. The less time he has, the worse he gets. His rage against God's people grows. Revelation 12:17, it says, it concludes with a glimpse of the dragon standing on the sand of the Mediterranean Sea. This is the region from which the first beast will come out of the sea, what we will look at in the next chapter. This is what happens with Israel. The believing church has been raptured before the tribulation. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
The second half of the tribulation, the second 3.5 years, will be so awful for the people who are still here. It's the worst. Israel will be judged for her unbelief. Many will die. Only a remnant will survive. They will be tried. They will be purified for the arrival of the King of Kings. We have to understand the time that we are living in. We have to understand the time we are living in. We are in a time where the stage is being prepared. Like in a theater, they prepare the stage before the curtain opens. And today we can see the stage is being prepared. So let us remember, we are in a time before the, we will not be here at this time, praise God, because we have been taken away. But this is what is going to happen in the world. Amen.
Amen.